So, Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petso Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petso, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petso Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petso.
Hello and good morning. Thanks for getting up early. Is it really early? You know, the world is zipping around 5 days a week by 8 o'clock in the morning. But I am told periodically that this is a little bit early, and people preferred the 10 o'clock time slot. Well, that was years ago, of course, and what a difference it's made for me to have most of my Saturday right coming after the program. So I appreciate those of you that made the move, stepped up earlier in time over the past several years. I can't believe it, but have been doing the program now for over 25 years. It's crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. It's crazy to think that we were talking what didn't seem like long ago about the market crash, right? October 19th, 1987. Seems like yesterday. 1987. And I'd already been in the business for quite some time. And, you know, we have this major event, and then we had another kind of a mini one in 1990. And then we had the long-term capital. Isn't that a funny name for a company that leveraged zillions of times over? So much leverage that it nearly took down the financial system with it. One hedge fund. We had the Asian currency crisis. All this through, when we look back and we say, wasn't it just so glorious, the 1980s and the market really started to come back. Stock market returns were incredible. And then in the 90s, they were just awesome. But in the midst, we always have these setbacks. And sometimes you feel when you're going through them, they're not setbacks. They're major stuff. And now it's worse, though. You know, it's microscopic look at and talked about and tweeted and nonsense 24/7. I mean, we thought these things were over-covered back then. It's times 10 now. And here's the thing that most people don't get. We're not equipped to do this. We're not ready to handle this flow of data. You noticed I didn't call it knowledge, because that's not what it is. It's noise. And we're not remotely ready for this. We're not equipped at all. You see, people really do think, as they walk around with their faces on their screens, not just kids. Oh, no. Oh, no. Had an interesting conversation with the farmer. He's a very big farmer. Very, very bright guy. Super smart. Says, yeah, checks the market periodically throughout the day on his phone. Why? Why do we do that? Now, what we'll say is, you know, I'm just curious. But what does it have to do with anything? I mean, anything at all with your long-term investments. And this is why it's so important to really ask ourselves, where are we getting our inputs? How often are we looking? And are we even looking at the right things? Are we? See, when we read the headline, market down 150 points. Well, that's not even 1%. Market crashes. Okay, 1%, less than 1% is a crash, really. Okay, well, all right. Wow. Market soars. Again, less than 1% or just over 1%. And then they have to say why. And this week is a classic example of the nonsense that goes with that. See, the market went down Monday. Had a fairly good-sized drop. Nearly 200 points. At one point, it was well over 200 points during the day. A little bit more than 1%. But listen, a 1% move, I think that's sizable. Market crash or soaring or whatever big giant words we want to try to get people. Now, that's a bit overstated, but it's a decent move, 1% in a day. Always was, but hey, when you're moving, you know, 20 points because the index is only at 2,000, that doesn't seem as exciting as a 200-point day. Even though it's the same. So the numbers do throw us off. I get that, okay? But when we think about that, and when you think about this past week, well, the market was down sharply. I said Monday. Sorry about that. That was Tuesday, right? And then they gave us the litany of reasons why. Yeah, I think it would include, without a doubt, Greece. It would include because they have to, right? So they just go around and go, wow, the market moved. And we have to put something on the headline. And so they throw something out, which probably has little or nothing to do with why the market moved. Literally has nothing to do with it most days. And then the next day would include, you know, Greece or the Federal Reserve said something or didn't say something or implied something, whatever. And then Friday the market was, well, why wasn't the market down on a minus, by the way, an unexpectedly large minus GDP number. I thought markets were all about the economy. Forward-looking mechanism. We'll have to deal with that in another time. It's noise. It messes people up so bad. It brings fear into an equation. It brings silliness into an equation that has nothing to do with your long-term financial security. So I ask you this. If for example, there was this scary path ahead that may be fraught with danger, or there was another path that was simple, not dangerous, and got you there at the same time, which path would you choose? Well, you might say, well, I'm an adventurer. Okay, if you are a gambler, go the dangerous path, get all the inputs you can, trade like a crazy madman, and don't make any money in the market. Or you can go the easier path. And if I'm going to take my family's future wealth, my security, I'm going to take the easier path. What is that? That's a path that I don't have to fill my head full of scary noise every day. Where I might, the danger on the other path is that every day I can be freaked out. I can make bad decisions. And I assume I occasionally will, being that I am a human being. An emotional wreck, frankly, is what humans are. On this one path, I can go and I can focus on daily price movements, which have absolutely nothing to do with the income I receive. Price movements don't have anything to do with the income that corporations pay me. But I can focus on that, and hopefully I can somehow ignore that. I can somehow get through it, especially when it gets really trying. And I can somehow emotionally get all through that difficult path. And maybe if I have enough of these crazy daily inputs, and focus my mind on things I don't need to, like squiggly lines and double squiggly lines and death crosses and all those things, and I can have more and more and more inputs. Maybe I can get on some blogs and stuff and really talk about death crosses and things on that path. And then I can spend most of my evenings hunkered down blogging with other people. And then somehow try to get through that path of not selling out because the squiggly lines crossed. And then even better, there's so much stuff on the internet. I can go out there and I can talk about Shemitahs. Hold on, I got to be able to get this sometime right. Shemitahs, blood moons. Shemitah, that's it, Shemitah. The Shemitah is here. Every 7 years, just like clockwork, click, 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 disaster after disaster. Except, oh, well, you know, during that year and then that year and that year, but that would have been because, you know, Venus was in retrograde, I think. That must have been what it was, because other than that, it's worked really well the last two times, and since we're into numerology here, and we think the world really isn't dynamic or anything, it really just operates on numbers, then we can scare people into visiting our websites. And then we can, but you know, I want to have those inputs. I want to think about that stuff. You know, I don't want to be like, you know, in this box of, you know, ignoring things. I want to be connected. So we again walk this dangerous path of learning all and all different opinions. So we learn about blood moons, ooh, and shimadas and all those things. Last year we learned through the very same people that the dollar was ending. I believe it was House Bill 2450 something, whatever. Same people, same website. Weird. They just must know stuff that others don't. And somehow, having all of that in me and reading more and more and more, and perhaps even, you know, getting on blogs, what do you think? Well, here's what I think about blood moons. Here's what it's going to look like when the Lord comes back. Really? Oh, okay. Wow, let's start a new church on that. It's a stunning, amazing thing that we think, walking this dangerous path of more and more and more information. I'm just going to learn. Why don't you want to learn that? Don't you want to study what Mr. Stockton says about the end of the world, or this website over here about the end of the world, or this guy over here about the end of the world? He's been talking about the end of the world for the last 20 years. I know. It's one thing after another. So he's an expert on the end of the world. We think. We're above that. We do. But remember, we're really on this dangerous path. Does this mean we put our head in the sand? Of course not. No. Do you really think you can? Do you really think you can ignore the world? I think you would literally have to turn the TV off, period. You would have to stay off of all news on the internet. It's there. We can't not overknow what's in the world. Does it really matter what companies that have raised their dividend for decades, regardless of 2001s and 2s and 08s, they keep raising their income? Does it really matter to you if the stock price or your net worth declined today? How is this helpful? How is it helpful to learn and contemplate Shemitahs? Does this just add clarity? Is it like a fun topic at parties? Are you the hit at the coffee shop with your buddies because you know about blood moons? All of this is very confusing to me. It really is. why we act this way. Why do we do this in spite of the reality that simply this day, globally, is better than any day globally before it? We have more abundance than ever. And tomorrow will be the same as today, more than today, which was more than yesterday, and so on and so on. You know, it's sometimes it's to me it's these simple things. It's in my mind. Okay, my grandparents worked so hard, and I had the amazing privilege, I really mean this, to spend a lot of time in the summers with them in the backwoods of West Virginia. Now, for most people, you don't really know what I'm talking about. For those of you, even from the South, maybe it's Tennessee, maybe it's Kentucky, whatever. You go back in those coal mining communities, that's real poor. That is really, really, that's poor, poor, poor. Poor. That's, my grandpa and I, I just rode along, but I remember taking boxes of shoes and picking up kids for church. They didn't have shoes to go to church. That's how poor. Nobody lives like that anymore. Nobody. Not in this country. Not even close. That's in my life. In my life. And I know, oh, it was all better in the 40s or 50s, and everybody just loved everybody. And no women were raped. No, they never were reported. Women had no right. No rights of any kind. And people were really poor. But it was all better then. The real problems today are just horrible, and it's not abundant. It's awful. And yet we don't see that. You see, I look at my grandpa who he had a heart attack, died. But I remember he had high blood pressure. Well, today it's a completely a non-event. High blood pressure. Really? Take a pill. Boom. Done. Doesn't even have any side effects today. Back then, I remember my grandpa would fall asleep sitting in a chair all the time. Because the stupid pills just to keep the blood pressure down just made him fall asleep. So people live so much longer now. They live healthier. Even the medications are better than they were. In spite of that, we don't see the world that way. And so we look for all kinds of conspiracy theories. We look for the end of the dollar. We look for blood moons and Shemitahs. Really? It was like Y2K. And then we listen to people, the old people like, when I, for 30 years, I had to listen to this guy named Howard Ruff. Destroy capital, destroy, 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 destroy. Wrote, I don't know, half a dozen books, maybe more. How Japan was going to take over, it just, the list goes on. And next year, after the blood moons don't destroy the earth, or the economy, or whatever they're supposed to do. I don't know, haven't read, I'm just an ignorant guy. Just haven't read all about the Shemitah and the blood moons yet. And I'm not going to. Next year it'll be something else. Doesn't this dawn on us that all of these inputs destroy our wealth? Make us a little uncomfortable, a little less happy. So yeah, turn it off, turn it down, tune them out. Go see your grandkids. That's perspective for me, having this grandkid. Woo, 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 woo. I'm a kind of a shiny guy, shiny object guy, right? Little ADD, right? That doesn't work real well with a baby, right? Because all they want to do is, we all know, that they mess their diapers, they sit there, they sleep a lot, they don't do much of anything, and you really can't go play with them. So you just sit. And you'd be still. And it's awesome. And for me, it's been a perspective changer too. It really is. It really is. So tune it down. Turn it down a little bit. Let's take it down a little bit. Now, in the education segment next hour, I'm going to talk a little bit about buybacks, corporate buybacks. What exactly are they? If it dawns on me, we talk about all the buybacks and the billions of dollars are being bought, that people don't really know exactly what that is. But we're talking about some of the good ones and some of the bad ones out there and what it really means, because there's a lot of information on both sides. But right now, it's your turn. What do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about? We can talk about the blood moons. We can talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. But I do want and need your phone calls at 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. His Money Matters with Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Do give us a call. Love to hear from you. It is amazing to me how we get through. You know, we're talking about this, all this noise there is out there, right? And this week, the market was down big on Tuesday. It was up big on Wednesday. And then we have to act like there was some kind of a big shift in the universe that made sense of Tuesday's drop. Then it makes sense for why it recovered on Wednesday. Interesting, isn't it? Because the reality is that most of the time, the market just moves around a little bit. And especially lately, remember we talked about this the last couple of weeks, how boring, how dull the market really was. It's really not moving around much. It was just not doing much. And to me, that was a good sign. It was just resting. It had gone to all-time highs, and it's good just to kind of pull back and just relax a little bit. Markets don't go straight up. They don't go straight down. And by the way, our number here is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. Hey, I got an email, and this is kind of this is more of a personal one, but to our website. Why did the resources tab disappear from your website? Hey, I don't know. I'm going to have to say, Mike, thanks for letting me know. I don't know, because as you point out, it's a very beneficial section, has a lot of tools in there. All those tools, of course, are available elsewhere, but they had them all in the same place. It really was a good place. I don't know. So I've already forwarded your email to Jennifer, so she can find out from Amanda, who actually is working on the website, then what happened. So we'll find out. So bear with us, and we'll get that moved on. But thank you very much for pointing that out, which also brings me to, other than this section, there are a lot of tools and calculators, articles for you to use on our website. So please do check that out. It's PetzoFinancial.com. Also, we have our podcast there, and we'd love to hear from you. So if you have a comment, something to share during the week, a question, please do shoot those over. It's PetzoFinancial.com. Now, GDP this past week announced for the past quarter down. Is this an important data point? Back to what we're talking about. Is this an important thing to talk about? Well, do we have to worry about these things? Isn't that what you're preaching, is just to turn it off and tune it out? The answer is, again, let me reiterate, turn it down. You can't leave the building. It will chase you, right? The noise is deafening. All I'm saying is turn it down, or we face the dangerous path, don't we? So when we're talking about news items like GDP, that's a big deal. We need to ask ourselves a question about what direction is the economy going, because ultimately that does affect corporate profits, which affects the market. In fact, corporate profits are why people have missed completely this bull market, because they have been clever by half. They go out and they talk about if we print all this money, then we're going to have inflation, and that's devastating, so you can't own stocks. All through this, corporate profits have skyrocketed. Buying back stock, which I'll talk about in the second hour, has been enormous. The raising of dividends, the cash flows to corporations, enormous. Bottom line, Bottom line, when we think about the stock market, and people ask the question, not to be a smart aleck, but here's the answer, right? How can the market be so high? The answer is, I don't know. I'm confused too. With cash flows at all-time highs, dividend payouts at all-time highs, corporate profits at all-time highs, corporate balance sheets, the safest they have ever been. I don't know. I don't know how they could be at all-time highs. You see what I mean? I don't know how it could be anything but all-time highs. Especially when we consider there are no other alternatives. To make money, I mean, if you want to lose money after taxes and after inflation, there's lots and lots of alternatives to that. But the alternatives are little to produce income. We got to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want and need your phone calls. It's 580-543-6580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. Idaho's place to talk. KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Now let's do so on the phones, if you would, please. 580-KIDO, 580-5436. And then also, if you do prefer email, that's fine. It's Dave at Petso Financial. That's P-E-T-S-O, not the sauce, P-E-T-S-O, financial.net. That is the live email address. So feel free to use that too. Why do we see short-term volatility as long-term risk? Why? Why do we do that? Is that a fair question? That we look at it and we say, oh my, I don't know if I'm going to have enough in my retirement account when we have a market correction. Why is that override? Why do we have so much concern about short-term volatility affecting our long-term risk? Isn't that a mismatch, right? A mismatch of our goals with what we're looking at. Complete mismatch. We perceive, obviously wrongly, that a 100-point move today is important to what? Catch? To miss? Even 1,000 points when we're talking about a 20-year need. Again, when we have so much input, so much data flow, don't you think it steers our eyes and ears to the wrong places? I do. My dad and I were just talking about this the past week, you know, remembering Louis Rukeyser, because we had so many great conferences, and I remember growing up as a kid. Really, that Friday night thing, that was the one night that I'd probably come in before dark so I could see Wall Street Week, you know, during the summer, and watch it with my dad, 30 minutes, and love watching Louis Rukeyser. And, yeah, so outside of watching baseball and basketball and playing and that kind of stuff, I was always fascinated by the world of stocks. And Louis Rukeyser talking and thinking about that. And thinking about the guests, I actually went to YouTube and I saw this not long ago. Like within 2 weeks, I saw the show from the 1987 crash. From the 1987 market crash. That was a big day. It was a big day for those of us in the industry. It really was. It was impacting. and seeing the guests on there. Well, of course, one of them was my hero. John Templeton was a guest that evening. And watching it and thinking about it and listening to their words, knowing what happened. They did not know what would happen when they uttered their words. We do now. And all of them, to a person, all of them were calm, collected, reassuring, and talked about buying bargains and talked long term. John Templeton was an old man at that time, already an old man, and talking long term. He thought that way. All the greats do. All of them always have. They're the ones we read all the time. They're the ones we quote all the time. Oh, excuse me. Hold on. I got to check. Let me check just a second. Let me interrupt the program here. I need to see what the futures are doing in Asia. I need to check my phone. Seriously. We act completely contrary to what all these people have taught, what we believe. But we want their wisdom. We want to be that. Folks, it's like, if you want to be healthy, you got to turn down the donuts. That's it. We all got our things. But we can't be continuing to input stupidity and noise and think we're above that having an effect on us. We are not. And our number is 580-543-6, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. I'm way behind. Jim, hang on. I'm going to have to get a break out of the way, and when we come back, we'll grab your call, and hopefully others. 580-KIDO. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. On 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. 580-KIDO is our number. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net is our email address. So shoot those over. Shoot your questions over. Let's go right now to Jim. Jim, thanks for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Great.
I got to say, me for one, I like the early time slot. Like you, I've got better things to do in the middle of the day than listen to the radio.
There you go. There you go. Well,
anyway, I thought
that.
I'd like to impart some words of wisdom to you and your audience.
Good.
And
that's feeling. I like that statement right there. You know, I do. That's not prideful. That's confident. You're confidently going to deliver some wisdom to us.
But you'll also appreciate, I think, from whence it comes.
Yes.
In my ripe old age, you know, I've accumulated everything that my mother had, and I come to find out that my mother had kept every one of my report cards from kindergarten through grade 16, right? And so, and also I've gone through life accumulating things. I mean, I love these old sayings like, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Money doesn't grow on trees.
Right.
Well, anyway, these tidbits of wisdom come from my first and second grade report cards. And the report cards are broken into two parts, the first and second grades. After that, it was all academic.
Mm-hmm.
But the first and second grades were divided into health, social habits, work habits, and art. The second part was the academics, reading, arithmetic, language, spelling, et cetera. Anyway, the words of wisdom were, one was, it says, our health. We believe that we should eat and drink the right foods and should run and play in the sunshine and keep our bodies clean so that we can live a long time and not be sick. We also believe that we should be careful not to get hurt or crippled. The second one is our country. We love our country because we can do whatever we want to do so long as we do not hurt someone else. If we will work and study, we can be a doctor or lawyer or anything else we want to be. Or if we will work and save our money, we can own a business of our own. So that, I mean, you know, and you can imagine, I mean, a first and second grader, I mean, never reads that, but, I mean, it goes the old saying, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree.
Nice. I like that. That's good.
If you get a good I don't know, a good foundation, and this was from 52 to 54, you know.
That's awesome. I like that. That's really good. Imagine the difference there. And so in some ways, as I was talking about, things are better and more abundant now. They are. But we're also so politically correct, we can't say something as simple and sincere and honest as hard work in a free country will be rewarded.
Right.
We can't say things like that.
From way back. Because they realize, I mean, they're starting you on a journey, you know. The kid has no idea. He's just forced to go to school.
Yep.
But, I mean, you know, they know the future, and they care and all that stuff. So I thought it was pretty cool.
That is really cool. No, I like that. And, you know, when you think about that kind of foundation for that is the whole thought process behind the institution of education. That was what it was. It was simple. Let's talk about the love of country. Let's, you know, we'll teach them the basics, but also part of that is we're also going to teach them that if they work hard, if they save their money, and if they get an education, they can be anything they want to be.
And as you remember, early on, we were all taught social studies and all this stuff. But as you go further and further, it's all academics.
Right.
I mean, it really is. It's, you know, get out there and make money or do what you generally. But, I mean, you start off with a more rounded, I would say, and then you get more specific as you go on.
Right. Well, that's
sometimes
really good.
You lose the earlier stuff.
Well, you do. I don't know. You lose it. Maybe the world overcomes it a little bit. But once in a while, it's stuff like that, Jim, where you pull that out and you look at it and you go, yeah, that was the people that came before me. Those are the shoulders I stand on.
Yep. I try to think back what I was thinking in the first and second grade. I did pretty good. You know, back then they used color coding, you know, green to red, green, orange, yellow, red. And my first grade, I got quite a few greens. And the second grade, no greens, but four reds.
So it was a downhill spiral from there, huh?
Either it was me that took a down swoop, or one was extremely tough and the other one was extremely easy, you know?
Yeah, that's funny. I remember I still do it in my house somewhere, the old books of, you know, from when I was in grade school. So, yeah. Interesting
so
stuff.
As far as the market goes, I don't. Well, okay. One thing about it, I got to admit. Now you are totally optimistic. You are full of optimism, and I got to say, you know, you see things from one side, but what is kind of like the negative, like you look on Yahoo Finance, Ron Paul is predicting doom. Okay, now he sees everything negative. You see everything positive. But if things don't go well, if the economy totally falls apart, the one bright spot I can see is listening to you try to defend it.
I have absolutely. Now, you remember, you've been listening to the show a long time, right?
Yep.
Okay. So we went right through the 2000 through 02. We went right through the 08 and 09, right?
Right.
And I was here right at the time of the 87 crash. I was certainly here in the mini crash of 1990, the Gulf War, you name it, right?
Right.
All that stuff and all these. The bird flu and the Asian currency crisis, all that stuff. These are normal occurrences. So I absolutely, well, we'll have fun with that. I got it. But the reality is these are just normal bear markets. In some cases, they're vicious, but they're normal. And certainly the corrections are more than normal. I expect a correction anytime. I don't position like I'm going to have it happen on my time because I understand that you can't time the market. I completely get it, and I accept that fact.
Right. Well, when I guess it was maybe around 2000 when they termed they coined the term new economy. you know.
Yes.
I mean, you really didn't need assets. You really didn't need income. It was just, you just make money.
Right.
And, I mean, that's BS. But then as technology goes on and there's this Bitcoin, and it almost seems like, well, people talk about one world government, one currency, and
yep.
maybe some they're trying for that. And with the way change is going, you could see where people would think, well, maybe currency is outdated or whatever, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. But we'll see. We'll see what that happens with that whole Bitcoin thing. Jim, I got to roll.
Yep.
We're the end of the hour coming up here. So
Take care.
Thank you. Thanks
Bye-bye.
For the call. Bye-bye. And we do have to roll. And in our education segment, we're going to talk about buybacks. Hope you'll join us.
Opportunities to get your business in front of tens of thousands of people all in one day and in one place. A limited number of booth spaces are still available. Face-to-face exposure to thousands of potential customers all in one day is a marketing opportunity you can't afford to miss. To reserve your space, call 275-8131. Spaces will go fast. Call today, 275-8131.
NASCAR fans, this is NASCAR 10th Annual Truck Series driver Ben Kennedy. Join me and the NASCAR Foundation on a mission to provide much-needed resources to kids in our schools. Visit a Camp and Grill Super Center and make a $1 donation today. Show your passion for helping kids. Log on to www.nascarfoundation.org to find a Camp and Grill Super Center near you. Do it today, race fans. Our kids.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us. This is hour number two of Money Matters. I'm Dave Pezzo, and, of course, these are my opinions. My opinions only. They're not the stations. They're not my broker-dealers. And if we are talking about and using examples, and we do. We use lots of historic examples. I'm going to right now. And we may talk about an individual stock. I might actually talk about Apple later in today's program. That doesn't mean you should own it. I don't know what your portfolio looks like. That's absurd. And this idea of buy, 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 and sell, sell, sell is completely the opposite of what the message of this program is. I want to turn down the noise. Give examples. Think long-term in a short-term world. That's what we're trying to do. You see, we do. We really do. We see short-term volatility as equated to our long-term risk. I don't understand that. Oh, I do understand why we do that. We're human beings. But together, I think we can try to get through this and try to understand and be better investors. But we're not here to tell you what to buy, 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 and sell, sell, sell. We're hopefully here to grow and learn together. I wanted to give, before I dive into our education segment here and talk about corporate buybacks, what they are and whether they're good or bad for the market, I wanted to take just a second because it dawned on me on my call there with Jim that, you know, it's easy to talk about being optimistic or pessimistic as if there's two things. And I think that the first thing I want to say is that the only realism is optimism. It's not pessimism. I mean, you can have a short-term pessimistic outlook of the market. That's fine. That's an opinion. Everybody has one. Like other stuff, we all have one. And what I choose not to do is to walk around thinking about my short-term market prediction because it has nothing to do with the long-term nature of my goals, what I'm trying to teach my clients, what I'm trying to position them for is a rising stream of income all the days of your life that goes up faster than the rate of inflation. That's not a market timing decision. That's a positioning. And if there's a market timing position and why I'm optimistic, it's because you don't sell out and try to guess what the market's going to do. You walk through that door. You walk through that door. You think you're being intellectually smart. And you know, I love the example that Tom Brown in our office talks about that. He said, you've gone to the dark side. You've gone to the dark side when you do that. It reminded him of when he turned 21, went to jackpot, and won. And his parents, he was so happy to tell his parents, yeah, I won. And they're like, they were not at all excited for him because they knew what was going to happen, and it sure enough did. As a 21-year-old young man decided that this was a fairly easy game. Not only did the winnings go away the next weekend, then we began to dig into the college money. Lessons can be difficult to learn. Yeah, he made it through school. Had to work a few extra jobs, but that is the truth, isn't it? So let's say you actually got it right. When do you get back in? After the 10% correction? Well, at 10, it looks worse, doesn't it? The world is coming unraveled. Everybody all over the place knows it's going to go down more until it doesn't. And you're trapped out. If it's down 20, the world has entered into a bear market phase, and it's obviously going down more. People don't get back in. As Warren Buffett puts it, it's more dangerous to be out than in. What we're trying to do is not talk about be Pollyannas like nothing ever goes wrong in the markets. It goes wrong all the time. So you're right, Jim. But through my 35 years, it sure hasn't been straight up. So let me quickly do this, and then we'll get into corporate buybacks. If you can imagine a stock trading at $30, okay, follow me here, $30, and it immediately after you bought it goes to $17. Man alive, that's just awful. I mean, that is awful. Eventually, it recovers to 30. That's nice. And on its way to 40, to 60. And then to 70. And I'll be darned if that darn thing didn't get knocked down to 35 again. But through it all, we actually did receive dividends. In fact, the dividends kept rising. Over time. Not every single year, but almost every year. Almost every year, this $30 stock kept paying dividends and raising them way faster than inflation. So it became a very substantial income. And eventually, through all the gyrations, our $30 stock is now, today, at $180. And massive amounts of money in dividends have been received on our stock. Now, if you'd like, you can certainly say that was, you could add two zeros to that number. The 30, down to 17, back to 30, back to 60, back to 35, all the way up. To 120, and then all the way back down to 60 again before rising to 180. And if you add two zeros, that's the Dow Jones Industrial Average. If you were unlucky enough to buy it right before the 1987 crash. So I ask you this question as we contemplate the gyrations day to day. What's the market going to do next week? What's it doing today? What's my net worth? Do you want to own a stock that's at $30 that winds up at $180 and pays massive amounts of dividends in between? A rising stream of income faster than the rate of inflation all of those years. Is that what you want? Because you see, what's hard about this and why you have to be optimistic is that is the trajectory of the market all of your life, all of your parents' lives, all of your grandparents' lives. That's what it does. Over the long haul. But we've become so fussy, so much data, that we can't see. We're so blinded by the short term, the $30 to $17, that we completely miss that the 30 became 180. Well, everybody wants that. Well, you have to go through the other. There isn't a stop-loss program. There's not an option straddling thing that stops that. There's not an equity-indexed annuity that'll capture the upside, but none of the downside. It won't. It won't capture the upside. Nothing. Nothing does. And the more noise we have, and the more we input all of the pessimism, we bury it. Just read article after article after article after article of how it's all going to go bad. Because that's all the news is. That's all it is. All negative, all the time. So that we do miss the simple fact that the 30 becomes 180. That the 3,000 that then went to 1,700 in the great one-day meltdown, actually it was in 1 month, but the one day was pretty bad, right? 25% in a day, that's a pretty bad day. Turned into 180. So I can fuss, but here's the thing. The 180 is on its way to 200, to 300, to 400, and in between, it's going to go down sometimes. And there's going to be a parade of people going, see, I knew it would, I knew it would, I knew it would. Parading around. They always called it, because they've been calling it for 20 years, 30 years. And that's why I think it's important to capture the big picture of what this is. Buying the great corporations of the world. Why? Not for their price, for their income. The rising stream of income. That's the dynamic that we're trying to shift. It's not a Pollyannish viewpoint. What I'm quite sure is we will fluctuate in the future. What will the market do? It will fluctuate. It always does. All right. Let's talk about corporate buybacks, okay? Corporate buybacks. This is when the companies buy their own stock back. Literally out of the market, okay? So they're buying it and they're then putting it in the treasury. It's retired. It's gone. So when they buy back, let's say 10% of the company, that would be a big buyback program and would take some time and a lot of money. But this is increasing everybody's ownership then that keeps the stock by 10% because we've shrunk the supply of stock. Obviously, this is a big buyer in the market. This is a big deal. And there are a lot of commentators that think it's not good. Share buybacks have been on the rise, obviously, since the beginning of 2009 when, you know, everybody was scared. We're back to the buyout levels that we were at the peak prior to that and rising. As we know, Apple has been buying back billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of their stock. Is that good? Is that bad? Some buyback programs, I think, are much, much, much better than others. An example right now of a buyback that I'm not really enamored with, to say the least, is Delta announcing that they want to buy back their stock. And again, what this is, a buyback, it's the opposite of like an IPO, where new, fresh capital is coming, or stock is coming on the market. We exchange dollars for that. And now there's more supply of stock. This is a shrinking of the supply of stock, which, of course, common economics will tell you that's probably a positive thing to prices. And usually is. But the one that's going on with Delta is I'm not enamored with, because here is what Delta has done. They're selling now at a huge multiple to earnings. The stock has gone way, way, way up. And yes, deservedly, because they're making lots of money. But when buybacks occur with a company, and if I can contrast that to Apple or even IBM, as their stock prices hit dips, they increase their buying. Maybe not so much true now of Apple, but boy, they were buying a lot of stock a lot of points ago at a much lower level, right? Billions of dollars worth. That's a smart buyback. Hey, we'll see what happens with Delta. That's not a prediction of what's going to happen with Delta. I'm just using them as a very recent example of a company that came out and announced a new buyback program. Lots of companies buy back stock. Sometimes they issue new stock. And that's what you call dilutive, when they issue new stock. Micron went through a series of years, lot of years, where they kept issuing more and more and more stock. It was incredibly dilutive, and it really sinks the company. Diluting means I own less and less of the company every time they issue more. That's not happened in the last few years. In fact, it's reversing. Because ever so slowly, they're shrinking. And I mean slow. And stock options keep coming out. So buyback programs are necessary even to hold the line. Because more stock options equals more dilution. So there are a number of things that you want to watch for. It's not that all buybacks are created equal. But one thing that has happened to be aware when people say, why is the market so high? And we talk about it, and again, I say the same thing all the time. I don't know. Dividends are at all-time highs and so on and so forth, right? We've talked about this just in the last hour. Dividends are really high. And the thing about dividends, they can be cut. But all companies do not raise dividends if they don't think they can pay it forever. Doesn't mean they will. Doesn't mean that there's no inherent guarantee. But dividends are a very, very strong statement for corporate health. And when we see these dividends being raised as much as they've been raised, the buybacks continuing to shrink the available supply, regardless of whether a company like Delta comes out at maybe a different kind of time than I would prefer, by and large, they're good. Buybacks are good. Really good for shareholders. So when people make the comment that buybacks are bad, I don't understand that. Or it's like the company's all out of ideas. Apple's all out of ideas. Starting a dividend and buybacks. No, they're a cash flow monster. They've got tens of billions of dollars to do whatever they want to do. And they still generate more cash. Well, good for them. Instead of just piling it up or wasting it on acquisitions that don't add on, that destroy value. Good for them for acting like they don't have an endless stream of money. That's good management. It's not good to just chase and throw money. This is why it's important to also understand this. Well, there they go. This is another thing that's said often. Dividend, you know, they're starting to pay a dividend, say if Google started to pay a dividend, right? This is what you would hear. Well, they just don't have any ideas to spend the money. I guess their growth is going to slow down, so they might as well start paying a little bit of a dividend. Well, here's the bottom line. Dividend-paying companies grow faster than non-dividend payers. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. You see, it's not always easy. And I'm not saying Google should pay a dividend because suddenly they'll do better. No. But paying a dividend doesn't mean you're out of ideas. Buying back stock doesn't mean you're out of ideas. To me, it usually means a company is interested in doing what they were hired to do. Make money for stockholders. That's what they're designed to do. Through that selfish act, the invisible hand works magic in the world, and freedom reigns supreme when the economies are doing well, when people are free to change jobs, free to make money, free to work hard, and equals making money. So corporate buybacks, they buy back the stock, put it in the treasury, and there's less stock of that company out there. So the existing stockholders own a higher percentage. By and large, it's good for the market. It's good for the stocks because capital in one form or another is being returned to shareholders. What shareholders are what? The economy. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Come on now. I mean, seriously, this has gotten out of hand. I want and need your phone calls. I know. It's just another kind of warm, nice summer-ish day out there. Is it summer? Is it kind of summer? Isn't it I know it's not technically summer, but it's summer when school gets out, isn't it, right? I mean, that's like it's summer. It's a summer weekend. But we all have cell phones, so give us a call at 580-KIDO if you prefer the email, that's okay too. That's dave@petzofinancial.net, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Matters with Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Hey, it's time to join us on the phone, online. Is the market so dull there's no questions? Is that what it is? It sure seems like when you turn on the TV, you hear from people. But maybe that's just the talking heads now, right? I mean, maybe they're the ones that are just bouncing off the walls. It's going to become very volatile and so on and so forth. But we're here. We want to talk about whatever you want to talk about. So please do give us a call at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. dave@petzofinancial.net is the internet, or email, I guess is the proper term. So we have China in a bubble, right? Bonds are in a bubble. Stock market's a bubble. It's an asset bubble. That's how we can define it now better because, they just print money. So what happens when interest rates, the Federal Reserve quits buying bonds? Well, when you ask all the folks when that happens, then the market tanks, but it didn't. It did not. Because they quit buying bonds. The Fed stopped QE a long time ago. So now it changes, the mantra changes, because, that wasn't correct. It didn't implode. So the mantra changes, which is really the point of my optimism-pessimism discussion, is how is it that we just accept that it's okay to continue to change the argument from a dollar being, a made-up House bill that's going to destroy the dollar in July of 2014. So since that doesn't happen, now we're on to the Shimada. It's the same thing. Just click on the whatever, or it's the this CIA agent, or this man here is really worried. What man? Who? Or I love the one that always has on there, right? Yeah, even Warren Buffett's worried about this. Okay, well, if Warren Buffett was worried about it, he wouldn't just keep owning stocks, would he? Or he would have sold off a bunch of stuff, wouldn't he? Anyway. Nonsense. It's always from one negative thing, and we just roll with it like, yeah, that's logical. That's okay. That guy's really smart. The optimist doesn't really think as well as the pessimist, right? It's just always this more intellectually acceptable argument if I am always negative. Always negative makes you smarter. Makes you a lot smarter. Now, what I want to talk about, I got to get caught up on a break here. We got to get to Fox News here. Well, I want to talk to you, so I'm not going to talk about it. Because I want somebody to call up, shoot us an email. 580-KIDO, dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be right back after Fox News.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. Idaho's place to talk. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Hopefully, you'll join us on the phone, 580-KIDO, 580-5436. That's our number. Now, we've been talking about the market noise and how how loud it is and how it can be, although it feels like it's okay to have all of those inputs, that it can really misdirect us and it makes it hard. If you will, as I was talking earlier, it can be a very hard path to stay on. It can be a very treacherous path to try to stay on. And what we're seeing now is so much noise on little things. Like, take Apple. And I know there's not a lot of stuff you have to report on there 24/7. But think of what Apple's done. Okay, we all know it's up a lot, right? Okay. But with all of the noise, the iPhone, it's not that good a deal at all. Not at all. Not even close to that good of a deal. It's not anything like as good as a BlackBerry. And you know, for the first 6 months after the first iPhone came out, Apple stock went nowhere and BlackBerry kept going up. We all know what happened after that. So we all know the story of Apple doing great, but think of all the noise in between and just all the noise. The iPhone 5 has some glitches in it. Siri doesn't work very well. It's a very big disappointment. And now Samsung's Galaxy or whatever it is just destroying them. All the noise of why it'll never get better, it's not going to get better, and all that noise did what for people? Most of them, many of them, sold. They sold thinking they're going to get back in. And we'll talk some more about it because it's always in the news. Apple is right where we'll watch and all those stuff. We'll talk more about it. But I think it's a classic microscopic viewpoint of what people do overall in the market. And they try to trade things. Our number, 580-KIDO. Gary, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on buying and holding physical metal, gold and silver.
Gary, I think that, if people want to do that, my thought is no. It doesn't return anything. So if you want to speculate, because the only way you make money, right, is that pretty brick you hold goes up in value, and then you sell it. And so there's two aspects to it. Number one, I don't think it makes any sense to hold something that has really no value. In other words, there's no income it's generating. It's not doesn't pay a dividend, doesn't pay interest, it sits. And also, by the way, then number two, the history of that brick has been very poor for long-term returns. And then finally, this is there's two other aspects. Let me say the price of trading it, keeping it, hiding it, storing it, if you want, you can insure it. That's expensive, okay? But it is cumbersome to trade, so they also have high markups. Now, we then take that and say, what are we going to do with it when I try to sell it? Let's say gold is very interesting to us once it's gone up and doubled, which is what happens all the time, right? So when it got up to 1,800, it's going to go to 2,000, it's going to go to 3,000, right? That was everybody knew, right? And then there was lots and lots and lots of hype about that. The same with silver. So when we do that, then what happens is we don't sell at that level either, do we? Because it looks like it's going to go even higher. And so the actual act of buying and selling becomes very, very difficult. Now, if I was so I could never really seem to trade my stocks, here's what the income story is for the great corporations in the world. They just keep paying more and more and more. So my income keeps going up. So the fact that I'm trying to buy and sell is not relevant. You have to try. So it's a pure speculator sport is what it is. So if you want to gamble with precious metals, that's to me what it is. It is not an investment.
Well, one of my purpose would be I'm a bit concerned about the fiat currency and the depreciation of the currency. And
right.
I guess there's a chance that it just goes away. We're seeing a lot of a lot of problems in the world, printing money, printing money, printing money. And there is some history, you know, on the currency we depend upon and we come to depend upon. And so I'm just wondering if holding a small, you know, a percentage in precious metals might be just a deterrent
an insurance policy, you mean?
Yeah, that terrible thing that might happen.
Right.
We're hearing a lot about devaluation of the dollar and the loss of the world importance of the dollar, the trade, can't remember the words, but
yeah, it's that we won't be using it as the currency of trade. I understand, but that actually has been going on for most of my career, actually, because it started with Japan, owned all our currency, and then the Chinese had all of our currency, and then they were going to dump it. And then there was the Chinese getting together with the Russians, and then suddenly everybody's like, well, I don't think the ruble is going to be the king either. Neither is a yuan, a controlled currency. So we're kind of back where we were, and but the mantra hasn't changed. Gary, to me, it's fundamental. I understand the concern. I really do. I really get it. I'm concerned about the deficit. I'm concerned about the printing of money. I'm concerned about all those things fundamentally. But bottom line, gold to me seems weird as a, quote, store of value. It just doesn't do anything, and I've never seen it traded successfully by anybody because it's so expensive on both ends to buy and sell and to lug down to some store that marks up, to move it. It is very cumbersome, and I still have a very hard time living my life thinking I'm going to go to the grocery store, Albertsons, whatever, and flake off pieces of gold and have it weighed out for my bread. I just don't see that happening.
I agree. It's there's markups on both ends, and it is not a. I don't consider it an investment, but
right.
I just think it might be just a little insurance in your pocket. And that's. I agree with what you're saying, and certainly, thank you for your. For your answer. You have a good program.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate that. You have a great day, and thanks for your call.
All right.
Bye now. And our number is 580-KIDO. Ed, hey, please hang tough, okay? I have absolutely got to. No, you're not. No, let's put it at the end. We're going to put it at the end. Let's go right to you. You've been waiting for a while here. Ed and Eagle, go ahead, please.
I have a little bit of money that I'm looking for a place to invest it. I'm considering maybe a China fund. I'm not real high on, I need to diversify some. I'm not real high on Europe. What do you think about the China funds?
Honestly, Ed, I think they're very scary right now. I think you have to be careful. And the reason why, this bubble can keep going, and I shouldn't say bubble. I hate that word because that's making a prediction of a top. Here's the problem. It's up like 50% in the last 2 months. It really is.
Yeah.
And it's up 100% in the past 12 months. This is a red-hot market, and it's being driven by the fact that the Chinese government has opened up that people can get multiple accounts. It's a good thing for them, but it has created so much trading that this is reminiscent to me of what happened when it was up 300% in the two-year period prior to the Beijing Olympics, where they had such a hot market, and it's being chased. These things can continue for a while, Ed, but I certainly can't sit here and tell you that I think this is a good bargain in the world. You actually named one of the only places I think is a bargain in the world, and that's Europe. So I think that that's one that I would actually address. And rather than getting country-specific, Ed, if you want, the other area of the world is emerging markets, which includes China, to me are the greatest bargains. So I really should say they're even better than Europe, in my mind, from a price-to-earnings, price-to-dividends perspective. And I would spread the money out rather than looking for one target like that, like a rifle. Let's shoot the shotgun at the world. Let the managers put the BBs in different places. And I think that would be a much more diversified approach.
Great. Thanks for your comment.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate your call very much. Thank you.
You.
Have a great day. And our number is 580-KIDO. We need to take a quick break, and when we come back, we do have a clear board, so we'd love to talk with you. 580-KIDO. We'll be right back.
Matters with Dave Pezzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-KIDO, that's our number. And we do have a clear board, so if you'd like to ring in, I'd love to take your call before we shut down today's program. In the meantime, we were talking about all that market noise, and I have been a lot lately, and I know I get kind of fired up sometimes about some of the silliness that there is out there. And I can't help it, I guess. I can't help myself. I try not to. I try to be as understanding as I can. But I sometimes I just don't get what happens to us and why we can't see, not that it's all perfect, because it's not. It's not. But when we have such noise like goes on almost daily with Apple, you know, oh, the iWatch is this, or, and, oh, how come they're not doing the TV thing, and it's being delayed, and then they just keep marching billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of revenue forward. And people don't seem to get that when we listen to all the noise, it can take us out of positions that we were very comfortable in. Because it's behavior that drives your results. Always. It's not picking the right stocks. It's not picking the right funds. It's not picking the right sectors. It's not rotating at the right time. It's not guessing which direction the market's going to go. It's, in fact, all the opposite of all of that. It is how you behave. And so if we're not careful of all the noise, we can say and ask questions that are absolutely absurd. I think it's absolutely absurd. Who needs a watch? Why would anybody buy a watch? Why would anybody need a smart watch? What do we think we are, Dick Tracy? And then they just go on. And this first watch, God, hardly, you know, this can only take people to the moon. God, the technology is hardly worth anything. On and on and on and on. Can't believe they came out with this. Seriously. Go back to the first iPhone. Same thing. Same thing. It's too expensive. It's too this. It's too that. It'll never do this. It'll never do that. What it really boils down to is this. All the commentators, they need to be running the company. Steve Jobs and Tim Cook, morons by comparison. Morons. They don't know what they're doing. If only you and I could run the company, we would know when the right time to come out with a watch is. Better than they do. They should have released Apple TV by now. Yeah, because they're not as smart as you are. They're not as smart. They don't know when they really should do stuff. Well, how come they haven't come out with a car yet? Google has a car. Maybe it's this, right? They think the right time to bring the watch out is now, and it's not right now for the other stuff. I mean, isn't it? I know. There's so many people out there that are like sport nuts, right? And they just love talking about, I can't believe that Boston traded this guy. I can't believe that the Raiders did this. I can't believe that they're going with that quarterback at BSU. Holy cow, what the heck is he thinking? You're right. If only you knew. If only you knew. And you could be in charge of that. Because they just sit around, they don't do anything. And then you don't know why that quarterback threw that ball. How could they possibly throw that ball right to the cornerback? When you don't even stop to think. There's a 350-pound gorilla, put his big mitt in the guy's face, he never saw the cornerback, did he? But you would have thrown it better. You would have dealt with it better. Monday morning quarterbacking, running corporations, is this nonstop noise that it deflects our thought process. Does it really? It really does. It really can. All right, let's go to the phones. Jim, you had a comment for us.
Hello, Dave.
Hey there.
Yeah, you know, I'm into practicality, and I'm not into the latest thing. For the longest time, speaking of watches, which apparently are going the way of computers because everybody now on their mobile device has a timekeeper. So, but anyway, for the longest time, I have had a Casio, a little Casio that has a little calculator on it. So when I go to the grocery store or wherever, I calculate prices. Now, to me, that is practicality, and mm-hmm. I do not need an Apple product.
No, you won't need one for that. That's for sure. I understand. And here's the thing, too, as I've mentioned before. The Apple Watch is going to be a home run product, in my opinion. And that's just that's another opinion. And the reason why, though, is I think the characteristics of its health characteristics, monitoring our health and monitoring people's health on an ongoing basis is going to be an incredible thing. And attaching ourselves in other ways to bigger devices, perhaps. Do I need it? Do another gimmick? No. But, Jim, I think it's going to be another home run product as Apple continues to develop out all the applications that are in it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I think it is. It's not just a, you know, Dick Tracy watch. I think it's going to be a pretty amazing health product for us.
Yeah.
But I appreciate your comments. I love it.
Okay. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. Okay, Jim. Have a great day. Thanks Bye-bye. For calling. Bye-bye. And our number is, oops, we're almost out of time. Is it 55-50? Thank you. That's what I thought. We're about out of here. A couple other thoughts before we get done. GDP down 7%. I said I'd touch back on this probably later. I've got a few seconds left to do so. I don't think we should be worried about one number. I am concerned because of the overall weakness, as I have been. This economy should be better. This president is inept. He's rudderless, leaderless. He doesn't even want to be there. I don't know why he ran for a second term, except that he can fly around in Air Force One. He clearly doesn't want to lead on anything from ISIS to corporate tax reform to get to energy policy to get this country going again. But that day will change. And in spite of all the anti-business, we've limped along. And the world has been weak also. And we've limped through it. This is one number. I'm not ready to call a recession yet. And I think that's why you saw the market do okay.
Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petzl Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petzl, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petzl Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. These are the opinions of Dave Petzl and are based on information from sources believed to be reliable but may change as information changes or becomes outdated. Nor should any opinion contained herein be construed or considered as a solicitation to buy or sell any particular investment product. Indices mentioned.